Tony D on the third shift.
It's Tony D with you
on Yahoo Sports Radio and yahoosportsradio.com.
It's Tony D here on the nighttime on Yahoo Sports Radio. So our league championship series are now set as the Mets beat the Dodgers in Game 5 out in Los Angeles by a score of 3-2. So the Mets will play the Cubs and the Royals battle the Blue Jays. Let's get that table set with Barry Bloom, MLB.com. Help us break down what we're seeing in this postseason, what we look forward to seeing. How are you, Barry? Thanks for joining us tonight.
Yeah, thanks for having me on.
All right, let's talk a little bit about the Mets, the team that just beat the Dodgers tonight. You know, a lot of talk about the Cubs, and they may be a little ahead on schedule. In terms of the Mets, are they right where they should be, or are they playing ahead of what people anticipated this team was being built for?
I would say the Cubs are probably ahead of where people thought the team was built for. I think the Mets, with the additions that they made at the trade deadline, you know, with Cespedes and Tyler Clippard and Uribe, who didn't even play in this series because he's injured, and Kelly Johnson really plugged a lot of holes that they needed, and their pitching has just, you know, come along. They've got the best young pitching in the league. I think overall their pitching is better, you know, 1-5 than the Cubs is at this point.
Let's talk about Jacob DeGrom, because he's really emerging as a big star in this postseason. In terms of what he does well, what kind of pitcher is he, Barry? Where is his strength?
Well, obviously, fastball. All these guys, he, Syndergaard, and Harvey, they rely on, you know, 96, 97 mile an hour heat, and then mix it up with breaking pitches. He's got a good changeup, a good slider. But essentially, it's just location of the ball. When he's on, he throws everything for strikes. And when all these guys are on, you know, that's just what they do. And they move the ball. It's not a strike, 100-mile-an-hour pitch over the middle of the plate every time, like you'll see some guys do. You know, they go inside and out. They know how to pitch. They go up and down. And I think that's what DeGrom does. I mean, really, DeGrom's an eighth-round draft choice, and it converted in, I think he was a converted shortstop. So he was not really in the Mets' plans like Harvey and Mats were, and obviously Syndergaard was picked up and highly regarded in the trade with Toronto. And so he's really come along and really exceeded everyone's expectations, even the hierarchy of their own organization.
Barry, in terms of the regular season numbers, the Cubs have had tremendous success against the Mets. Do you take any stock in that when we get to October? Do those matchups that we saw in the regular season, do they factor in any way?
I think they're meaningless because they all came before the Mets got Cespedes and turned into the team they are right now. I mean, for most of the season, they were relying on their, you know, pitching coming along. You had three guys in, two all along, DeGrom and Harvey. Harvey coming back from Tommy John surgery. They were nursing him along. But when they brought back Mats, he's another kid who's had Tommy John surgery. So they were feeling it along the whole season. You know, really, Colon has been the constant there, winning 14 games for them through thick and thin. You know, I hope they start him in game two instead of Mats. I think they should have started him in game three and not Mats. But, you know, that's up to them. That's their choice. But, it's a completely different team. The Cubs really, I think, swept them at Citi Field before the All-Star break, and then they went on the road and had a pretty good road trip out in L.A. at San Francisco. So I think all that's water under the bridge. I mean, remember 1988, the Mets were something like 7-1 or 8-1 against the Dodgers coming into the postseason, and they lost in seven games. So I think you can discount all of it.
Barry, what do the Dodgers do now? This is obviously a disappointing end, and they spend a lot of money. Is anything brewing there? Is it uncomfortable in Dodger land right now about how this team is put together?
Well, it has to be uncomfortable because they've spent a lot of money over the last 3 years since Guggenheim bought the team, and they haven't even made it out of the second round of the playoffs. They haven't even gotten to the World Series. But if you look around, I mean, they've got a $300 million payroll. I was looking at this the other day, though. You know, $50 million or so, in excess of $50 million, is being paid out of that payroll to people who are not even playing for them. I mean, they paid $18 million to the Padres this year to have Matt Kemp play for the Padres. So, you know, you take all of that away, and then there are certain guys, you know, who are like McCarthy making $10 million. He's been on the disabled list all season. When you start whittling it away, it really is more like $200 million active payroll, kind of pretty close to the Yankees, than a $300 million payroll. And then, you know, when you really cut it away, then you go to, you know, they brought up Seager. Jock Peterson is there in center field. They've got these guys who are making the minimum or near the minimum, who are a big part of the team and are getting experience at this point. But, you know, they're not, ready for prime time. And as you can see, especially with Peterson, he's a guy who 40% of the time he doesn't even put the bat on the ball, either walks or strikes out. And then he hits a home run, knocks in a lot of runs, plays a good center field, and that's great over 162-game season. But when you get to a postseason in a five-game series and you don't produce, then you have to mix things around and try to figure it out, and it really is too late. It's like they lose Ryu and McCarthy this year in their rotation, and they've had to patch it all year. I mean, I added it up the other day. You know, they had 64 wins as a starting rotation. They were like second or third in Major League Baseball. But, you know, Greinke and Kershaw have 35 of those. Anderson, who was their number three, had 10. And 14 other pitchers had 19 wins for them as starters.
Wow.
You can't do that when you get to the, you know, to the postseason. And you saw it in game three the other night when Anderson and Wood were just shellacked. You know, that's the way they've pitched on and off all year. So the Mets come in, they beat Kershaw in the first game, they beat Greinke in the last game. They're both great pitchers, and the Mets deserve it because that's what they did. That's the way you have to beat the Dodgers.
Barry, what is your initial thought on the Mets-Cubs, and what does this series look like? What is the overriding personalities of both teams that's going to come through in this series?
Well, I think it's going to be, it's a long series. They've got a long history. I mean, you go back to 1959 and, you know, the Mets going right past the Cubs, who were in first place all season, and the Black Cat coming out of the dugout, walking across the field to Chase Stadium, and Leo DeRocher, that team that has like four or five Hall of Famers but never won a pennant. Yeah, and then in even 73 when the Mets won their division, they had to go to Chicago the last weekend of the season and beat the Cubs. I think they were like 82-80 or something that season. It was just, they barely made it, and then they wound up in the seventh game of the World Series. But so there's a long-term history between the two teams, and so you bring it up to date with like two franchises that have been building over the long term. You know, they took the time to do it right in major markets where you wouldn't necessarily have the guts to do that. And you know, they're strong. They're probably, maybe the Cubs are a little stronger position player wise. Although with losing Addison Russell for this round, that's going to hurt. You know, they're not going to be at full strength. I think they're pretty even, and I look for it to be a long series that's going to swing on these type of plays. Like, you know, I've been saying 3 years that the shift was going to cost somebody a playoff series, because I've been arguing this for 3 years. And I went toe-to-toe with Joe Girardi when the Yankees started doing this 2 years ago extensively. And Girardi told me that 90% of the shift has a 90% success rate, which leaves you 10%. And again, over 162-game season, 10% is pretty small. If you've got 90% in baseball, that's pretty good. But a 10% failure rate for the playoffs is pretty bad. And you knew somewhere along the way that shift was going to lose a game, and that shift lost the game for the Dodgers today because they didn't cover third base in the shift. And if everybody had been at their regular positions, Murphy would have never been able to go to third, and he wouldn't have scored on that sacrifice fly, and maybe the Dodgers win the series.
Yeah, great point.
It's just stupid. You know, there's a time to do it, and there's a time not. If you go back to last year, with the Giants, you rarely saw Bochy use the shift during the postseason just for that reason. Because if you do screw up in the shift, if a ball is punched the other way that costs you a game, people are going to be all over you, and rightfully so.
Crazy. Barry Bloom, MLB.com. Your initial thoughts on the American League Championship Series, Royals and Blue Jays?
I think that's another great series. I mean, I think baseball is very fortunate this year. You know, you started this whole thing with two New York teams, L.A., Chicago, two Texas teams, the defending American League champions. It was a great cornucopia of franchises, large markets, small markets, and now you're down to, you know, Toronto, which is energize the whole baseball again in an entire country, which I know makes Rob Manfred and Major League Baseball very happy. You know, you have Kansas City representing the Midwest and a fan base that had been starved for so many years, and it's proving that last year wasn't a fluke, and they fight to the limit. Last year they came back in the wild card game. This year they came back from a 2-0 deficit, and I came back and beat Houston. They were 6 outs away from losing down in Houston. They came back and won. You've got the Cubs, which is always a great story. If the Cubs can get to the World Series for the first time since 1945 and, heaven forbid, win the whole thing, I mean, that's incredible. And then you've got the Mets, who are the number two downtrodden in New York and have been to the World Series only 3 times and, you know, have won twice and haven't won since 86. And, you know, you're going to get a team out of this that hasn't won in ages. So, I mean, what did the Royals win in 85, right? And the Mets won in 86. Toronto won in 93. And the Cubs haven't won for 103 years. you're going to get a team coming out of this that hasn't done it for a long time.
That's a great point.
And it's going to help the fan base. I think Toronto is a terrific team. I'm pleased. You know, I've said all along, you know, been joking that I want to see the whole Billy Bean World Series. You know, Mets against the Blue Jays. Cespedes against Donaldson, and just show up Billy for the crazy trades he makes and how they turn out. I mean, wouldn't that be poetic?
That would be great. Barry, you're fantastic. Thank you so much for your time, as always. I really appreciate your insight.
Okay, thanks a lot.
You got great stuff. Barry Bloom doesn't like the shift and wants to see a Billy Bean World Series with all the stuff Billy Bean has done. That's great. That is great. All right, 800-777-2907. I didn't even think about that point he just made about, hey, look, one of these teams that are left is a long-suffering team. I mean, look, Toronto at 93, I mean, heck, for some of you, that's like 100 years ago. For Cubs fans, it is 100 years ago. Mets, 96, 86, the Royals, 85. So, yeah, so we're going to have a long-suffering fan base, if you want to call the Blue Jays long-suffering. I do, because I'm 93. I mean, that's like pre-internet. 800-777-2907 is the number. If you want to join us on Talk Some Baseball, as well as the NFL, we'll get to that coming up this weekend, and the good college games. We'll talk about that next. It's Yahoo Sports Radio.